The headlines: Yemenis hit the streets of the capital, Sana'a, to condemn the latest Saudi airstrikes on their country that have left dozens of people dead. Iran, China, and Russia hold joint naval drills dubbed the 2022 Marine Security Belt in the Indian Ocean. And the U.S. and Russian foreign ministers failed to make a breakthrough at talks held in Geneva on the rising tensions over Ukraine. Hello and welcome, everybody. Thousands of Yemenis hold a rally in Sana'a to denounce recent deadly airstrikes by a Saudi-led coalition against their country. They condemn the United States for arming and backing Riyadh and its allies in the war on Yemen. The rally comes after Saudi warplanes bombed the western city of Hodeidah and a detention center in the northern city of Sa'da. At least 63 people, including children and African migrants, were reportedly killed in Sa'da. Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates have intensified their bombardment of Yemen following the country's successful retaliatory operation in Abu Dhabi. The UAE has been actively involved in the Saudi-led war that has killed tens of thousands of Yemeni civilians. Western countries have sold billions of dollars worth of arms to Riyadh and Abu Dhabi since the war began in 2015. We've reached out to political commentator John Stepling on the persistent Saudi aggression against Yemen. He says despite all U.S. support, the Saudis have now reached the point to confess that they've lost the war.
The Saudi aggression against Yemen was a kind of badly kept secret for a long time. Media didn't cover it, and certainly Western media didn't cover U.S. and U.K. involvement and support. The United States, the Pentagon, had people in Riyadh from day one assisting the Saudi regime with this aggression. But over the course of the last few years, it's become a well-known, war crime. The entire project from the Saudis is roundly condemned by everyone. It buys billions of dollars of U.S. military equipment and training. It is a notoriously inept army. They've bombed hospitals. They've bombed water purification plants. They've bombed infrastructure across the country. This was already a very, very poor, destitute country, a very poor people, and it is much, much worse now. These are all war crimes of... And there's no parity. One side has billions and billions of dollars in jets. The other side has nearly nothing. And yet they resist. They're going to resist until the end. And I think that the Saudis might be well advised to start recognizing that fact, because in a way they have lost this war.
Diplomatic efforts are underway in the Austrian capital, Vienna, to revive the 2015 deal known as the JCPOA. This is the eighth round of talks between Iran and the P4+1 group of countries, namely Britain, China, France, Russia, and Germany. The U.S. unilaterally pulled out of the agreement in 2018 and is not directly involved in the talks. Pamela Lesgi has been closely following the developments in Vienna. Earlier, she joined us with an update.
Today we had a meeting taking place between the head of Iran's delegation, Mr. Bagheri, and the head of the Russian side, Mikhail Ulyanov. There was also before that a meeting between Mr. Bagheri and the EU coordinator, Enrico Mora. And now that the heads of the French and German delegations are back from the Berlin conference, we're expecting also a meeting between Mr. Bagheri later today and the representatives of all heads of delegations of the three European signatories of the JCPOA, namely Britain, France, and Germany. Now, up until this stage, we had news that there was another regular meeting between the 4+1, the remaining signatories of the deal, minus Iran and the U.S. Earlier. And in that meeting, the Russian side, Mikhail Ulyanov, he said that the Western side again raised the issue of the urgency of these talks, saying that we need to make this restoration of the JCPOA or the conclusion of these talks happen as soon as possible. And he was saying that Russia shares this view that the talks are urgent, but is also against setting any, quote, artificial deadlines. And the Iranian delegation, or sources close to the Iranian delegation, have also confirmed time and again that they are not going to be bound by any deadlines or timelines or timetables. What they want is a good and sustainable deal. If they're saying, the Iranian side is saying, if the Americans make this crucial political decision to remove the sanctions effectively in a verifiable manner, then things can proceed very quickly. What the Iranian side has been saying is what's slowing down progress in these talks is the fact that these political decisions need to be made specifically or more particularly by the Americans to make this decision to remove the sanctions to allow a procedure by which Iran can verify their effective removal, and also to give assurances or guarantees that the Americans will not withdraw from the deal again or reimpose sanctions.
Iran, China, and Russia have conducted a massive naval drill north of the Indian Ocean. The one-day maneuver engaged the latest naval equipment of the three countries with the aim of boosting coordination and synergy between their navies. Yusuf Jalali reports from the drill location.
Russia's guided missile cruiser Varyag and its anti-submarine destroyer, the Admiral Tributes, paraded along Iranian and Chinese warships in Iran's southern territorial waters as the last phase of a joint naval maneuver, codenamed Maritime Security Belt, conducted over 17,000 square kilometer area in north of the Indian Ocean. The one-day drill engaged some of the latest naval equipment of the three participating countries.
The Islamic Republic of Iran's Navy, together with the navies of the Russian Federation and the People's Republic of China, staged a joint drill with the motto of Together for Peace and Security. The ultimate goal of the exercises is to enhance the readiness of the three countries in confronting marine threats that are posed to civilian seafaring.
China's Urumqi destroyer and Iran's domestically built Dena and Jamaran destroyers were among the vessels that were deployed to the drills. The trilateral maneuvers saw the three navies practicing anti-piracy operations, where they freed two commercial ships from pirates. Iran's Navy says the drill will significantly boost the three countries' coordination and synergy in combating piracy and ensuring the safety of international shipping in the strategic Indo-Pacific region.
North of the Indian Ocean is of a special significance in terms of global trade. That's why it is associated with constant threats such as terrorism and piracy. Therefore, closer cooperation between the actors in this region promises safer maritime trade for all countries.
North of the Indian Ocean hosts more than half of the world's maritime oil trade, which pass through three strategic straits of Hormuz, Bab el-Mandeb, and Malacca, together forming what's known as the Golden Triangle of International Trade. It's the third time Iran, China, and Russia are holding a joint drill in this body of water, with the aim to turn the thruway into a safe transit route for all passing ships.
Iran, Russia, and China wrapped up their joint military exercises with strong messages. On top of them is their growing naval cooperation to ensure a collective security in the Persian Gulf, the Sea of Oman, and north of the Indian Ocean. This as they advised Western actors in the region to avoid destabilizing activities. Yusuf Jalali from the location of the drills.
Iran and Russia seem determined to work together more closely in different fields. The two neighbors want to draw up a roadmap for their future cooperation.
Look to the east, the current Iranian administration says that is the policy it is implementing. Tehran prioritizes expanding ties with neighboring and other regional countries. This largely forms the basis of Iran's foreign policy and its deepening ties with eastern powers like China and Russia. The Iranian president's high-profile two-day visit to Russia this week has been widely described as a turning point in relations between Tehran and Moscow. Ebrahim Raisi, who arrived in the Russian capital on Wednesday, sat down for talks with his Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin. The two presidents' discussions lasted 3 hours. Bilateral cooperation in the fields of infrastructure, energy, banking, and trade was the main focus of the talks. Putin praised the two neighbors' close cooperation on the international stage. The two presidents tasked Russian and Iranian foreign ministers to work out a roadmap for cooperation over the next 2 decades. President Raisi said the two neighbors will soon finalize their 20-year comprehensive cooperation agreement. During their meeting on Wednesday, Putin and Raisi condemned unilateralism and stressed the need to confront it. The meeting came as both Iran and Russia are locked in disputes with the United States, which both Tehran and Moscow have condemned for unending unilateralism. Tehran has been targeted by many rounds of unilateral American sanctions, and Russia, already under American sanctions over the situation in Ukraine, is now being threatened again by Washington as tensions over Ukraine run high.
Both Russia and Iran are being subject to the same kind of pressures coming out of Washington by the Biden administration, which is trying to reassert the U.S. hegemony over world politics. They're living in the past. The past has long gone past them by, but they haven't realized it yet, and they're trying to use the power of the so-called Western Alliance, which today is very much divided in many respects, to pressure countries like Russia, like Iran, like China.
Deepening ties between Iran and Russia may be cause for concern in Washington, as the U.S. may find it harder to dominate the region. Closer cooperation between the two will probably challenge U.S. unilateralism.
In an address to Russia's lower house of parliament, Duma, on Thursday, the Iranian president said sanctions are a common form of bullying and domination. He added that fighting the sanctions requires a collective response and cooperation among independent nations. Some observers believe that American sanctions have persuaded targeted nations like Iran, Russia, and China to work together more closely. Meanwhile, Raisi also warned that the United States has forged a satanic alliance with the terrorists. He said complicated plans are afoot now to send the terrorists on a new mission to the Caucasus in Central Asia. Russia and Iran have a history of cooperation in the fight against terrorism in the region, especially in Syria. And observers believe they could act together again if necessary. The Islamic Republic seems to be very serious about its look to the East policy. Becoming a full member of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization in September last year is considered a major step in that direction. Also, Iran and China's 25-year strategic cooperation agreement, which the two sides began implementing a few days ago, is another major sign that Tehran wants to enhance relations and exchanges with Asian powers.
That's really where the future is. You're going to see probably a revival of what used to be the ancient Silk Road now, with China's Belt and Road Initiative, which now Iran's going to be a part of. And that may again put that whole region in the center of economic development to the demise or the lower position by the Europeans and the Americans.
Iran says it is open to more partnerships that benefit both sides and are based on mutual respect.
Several UN agencies call for the immediate and unconditional release of chronically ill Palestinian teenager Amal Nakhle. He's held in an Israeli jail under the regime's so-called administrative detention policy. The UN's Children Agency, the Human Rights Office, as well as the UN's Agency for Palestinian Refugees, have issued a joint statement. They say that Amal suffers from a severe autoimmune disease and needs constant medical care. He was arrested in November 2020 for throwing stones at Israeli soldiers in the occupied West Bank. Amal has remained in jail without charge or trial. 2 weeks ago, Israel extended his administrative detention. Now the UN agencies say his family and lawyers still don't know why that happened. The agencies have urged Israel to end administrative detention of children under international human rights law. An overnight attack on an Iraqi army base has killed 11 soldiers in the eastern province of Diyala, according to a senior military official. The attack was carried out by Daesh terrorists in the early hours of Friday. The attack is the deadliest operation the terrorist group has launched so far this year. Last month, the Tekfiri terrorists killed 10 people in a northern village following an October attack that left 11 people dead and several wounded in a village in Diyala. The Iraqi government declared victory against Daesh after a grinding military campaign in 2017, but the terrorist group still carries out sporadic attacks targeting both civilians and military personnel. The Russian foreign minister has once again dismissed Western claims that Moscow is planning to invade Ukraine. Sergei Lavrov made the remarks after a high-stakes meeting with his U.S. counterpart Antony Blinken in Geneva.
I would like to reiterate once again, at the end of our meeting, we agreed that next week the U.S. is going to present us with written answers to all of our proposals. And you also said, in particular, that Ukraine represents no threat to Russia. And I would like to once again remind everyone who analyzes our public statements and our analysis, and I would like to say that never before has Russia threatened through its official representatives the Ukrainian people.
Lavrov said talks with Blinken were open and useful. He added that Russia's concern about weapons and Western military experts being sent to Ukraine, accusing NATO of working against his country. The U.S.-Russia meeting comes amid rising tensions over Ukraine. The U.S. and its allies say Russia is planning to use over 100,000 troops deployed near the Ukraine border for an invasion. Russia, in turn, accuses the West of plotting provocations in Ukraine. Russia wants binding security guarantees, including a permanent ban on Ukraine's membership in NATO. The U.S. and the military alliance have rejected the demand, warning that any attack on Ukraine would have costly consequences.
We've been clear. If any Russian military forces move across Ukraine's border, that's a renewed invasion. It will be met with swift, severe, and a united response from the United States and our partners and allies.
Antony Blinken described his discussions with Lavrov as frank and substantive. He said the U.S. and its European allies stand firmly with Ukraine in support of its sovereignty and territorial integrity. Blinken also vowed a decisive, calibrated, and united response to any non-military Russian aggression, including cyber attacks and paramilitary tactics. He said the U.S. is prepared to pursue possible means of addressing Russian concerns in the spirit of reciprocity. Blinken reiterated he hadn't expected Washington and Moscow to resolve their differences in the meeting, but hoped to keep a diplomatic path to addressing those issues open. And that brings us to an end here on this edition of the World News. Do stay tuned, though. Bye.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
قد يسرنا القرآن للذكر فهل من مدكر
Path towards enlightenment.
In the name of God, the All Compassionate, the All Merciful. Salam and welcome to another episode of our weekly series titled Path Towards Enlightenment, which is an endeavor to make you and us familiar with an easy and fluent explanation of God's final scripture to all mankind, the Noble Quran, that was revealed to the last and greatest of all messengers, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. We continue from where we left you last Friday, and here is Ayah 31 and 32 of Surah Tur.
قُلْ تَرَبَّصُوا فَإِنِّي مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُتَرَبِّصِينَ أَمْ تَأْمُرُهُمْ أَحْلَامُهُمْ بِهَذَا أَمْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ طَاغُونَ
Say, O Prophet to the disbelievers, wait, I too am waiting along with you. Is it their intellect which prompts them to say this, or are they a rebellious lot? Remember, in our explanation of the previous ayahs of this surah last week, we said it is the habit of the disbelievers to try to belittle the prophets of God by calling them names and accusing them of madness or being fanciful poets in a vain bid to prevent people from being guided to the path of God. In their blind enmity, the pagans of Arabia, desirous of seeing the end of Islam, wished harm and used to say that they were awaiting a fatal accident for Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. God, the Almighty Protector, however, made their devilish plots go awry. Thus, as is clear by the ayah that we recited to you now, the Lord Most High commands the Prophet to tell the intransient disbelievers to wait and see the terrible results of their evil for themselves, since he himself is awaiting whatever divine providence has decided for him of the two excellent things, that is, either victory over them or martyrdom in the path of God. The next ayah refers to the chiefs of the pagan Arabs who imagined that they were persons of reason and intelligence in opposition to the logic of the Prophet. It addresses all those who regard themselves as reasonable and knowledgeable, asking them whether the reason and intelligence leads them to deny the manifest truth, when it is clear that such denial stands against reason. All this means the deniers of truth are nothing but a rebellious and disobedient lot, since the reason only follows their evil desires. From this ayah we learn that, number one, patience and the passing time make the results manifest, whether these are the benefits for the truthful or the terrible fate of the deniers of the manifest truth. Number two, intelligence is the gift of God and should be used in a proper way to ascertain the truth rather than make it follow vain desires on the pretext of possessing knowledge and reason, since real reasoning never goes against reality and facts. Number three, it is disobedience of the rationality of divine commandments that turns the deniers of truth into rebels against logic and real reasoning of the prophets. Now we present you ayahs 33 and 34 of the same surah.
أَمْ يَقُولُونَ تَقَوَّلَهُ بَلْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ فَلْيَأْتُوا بِحَدِيثٍ مِثْلِهِ إِنْ كَانُوا صَادِقِينَ
Do they say he has improvised it? Rather, they have no faith. Let them bring a discourse like it, that is, the Noble Qur'an, if they are truthful. These two ayahs, like the previous ones, refer to the manifest truth and its denial by the disbelievers, who used to say that the Noble Qur'an has been forged by the Prophet and not revealed to him by God Almighty. This is indicative of their lack of faith. They were told that they are Arabs like the Prophet, and as the Noble Quran is in eloquent Arabic, they can make attempts and try to produce the like of it, but they cannot. Even if all of their scholars get together, since these are the revealed words of the Almighty Creator, and therefore matchless and unparalleled. From these ayahs, we learn that, number one, it is obstinacy and intransigence that clouds reasoning and leads to denial of truth and wild accusations against the prophets and truthful persons. Number two, the Noble Quran, as the revealed word of God Almighty, is the manifest miracle entrusted to the Prophet of Islam, and therefore inimitable. And number three, if the intransigent deniers of truth do not believe in the divinity of the Noble Quran, they can get together and assemble their leading scholars to try to produce the like of it, but they cannot write even a page matching its flawless eloquence and timeless wisdom. Now we listen to ayahs 35 and 36 of Surah Tur in conclusion of this week's episode.
أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ
Were they created from nothing, or are they their own creators? Did they create the heavens and the earth? Rather, they have no certainty. Through these ayahs, God Almighty raises a number of questions in order to awaken the dormant conscience of the disbelievers by presenting the most significant philosophical discussions in the simplest form of expression. Since the fundamental rule of all sciences is that there is no effect if there is no cause. In other words, nothing can come into being out of nothing or by itself. These two blessed ayahs present two assumptions. Firstly, is the human race created for a cause or without it? And secondly, is it possible that mankind is able to create itself? Both assumptions fail to stand against reason. Since human beings are a phenomena and every phenomenon is in need of a cause. Furthermore, mankind, which did not exist before, cannot cause its own existence. As reflected in Ayah 36, the polytheists were aware that God is the creator of them, the heavens and the earth. It is reiterated elsewhere in the Noble Quran that if the polytheists were asked concerning the creator of the heavens and the earth, they would rely that God is the creator. Thus, the main question presented in these ayahs is, why do you not believe in divine guidance instead of disobeying the prophets? The answer is simple. The intransigent disbelievers are not responding to the bidding of their own reason out of their vile disposition of mind and pursuit of vain desires, thereby failing to attain certitude regarding the omniscient and omnipotent Creator. These ayahs teach us the following points. Number 1. The Quran raises certain questions to open the minds of human beings so that they ponder upon facts and realities in a rational manner in order to refrain from obstinacy against truth. Number 2. Our intellect will help us when we are in pursuit of truth and not of vain desires or evil intentions. Number 3. Mankind is neither the creator of itself nor the creator of the world of existence. And number 4. Pondering on one's own self and the world around leads to God and certainty.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is the way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagian.
If we want to reach the proximity of Fatima al-Zahra, if we want to be close to him, to her, if we love her and therefore want to be with her, want to see her, want to hear her on the day of judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts her before all and everyone is able to see the light of Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha, which is too bright for anyone to see, and she is going to call upon the followers of the Prophet, the followers of her children, the followers of all adiyan, all revelations, all religions, all prophets. This Sayyidatu Nisa'il Alameen, Sayyidatu Nisa'il Ahlil Jannah. When that happens on the Day of Judgment, whoever wants to be with her, how can we be with her? How can we come to a point where we would be able to be in her presence? Not physically, the hereafter way of being present. There, the realities, the truth of each person, their character, their qualities reveals itself. That's what was mentioned in those last verses of Surah Al-Qamar. وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ فَعَلُوهُ فِي الزُّبُرِ. everything that is done is in the books, God's books. God's angels are all writing that up. وَكُلُّ صَغِيرٍ وَكَبِيرٍ مُسْتَطَرٍ. Every small, that is going to reveal itself not only in the form of those books, the result of that is going to be revealing itself in the person. From looking at the person, it is obvious and evident what type of person they are. And from that, you will know, it will be evident where they will be in terms of paradise or hell, and in terms of where in paradise they will be, who they will be with. Oh, that's not a place where I can say, oh, can I be sitting by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam? No, it doesn't work like that. How can I be with her there? Well, the only way is if she is of the muqarrabin, of the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only way that we can be with her, in her company, on the day of judgment, in the hereafter, is to become of the muqarrabin. There's no other way. There's no other way. We can enjoy mentioning her name. We can enjoy loving her. We can enjoy looking at her children. We can, on the day of judgment, perhaps, if we, inshallah, Allah helps us, we leave this world with the love of the Ahlul Bayt, inshallah, we will see them. But that's not being with them. That's not being with them. Do you like to be in a close circle near Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha? You want to be able to touch the soil beneath her feet? Do you want to be able to hold her veil and kiss it? Hold her chadr and take it and kiss it? Or do you want to be at a distance where you can only watch people doing that, not be able to do it yourself? You want to be close. Obviously, anyone who loves her, the more a person loves, the closer they would want to be. How can we get closer? She is one of the muqarrabin. In that position, there's no, how can we get there? The verse is very clear. Innal muttaqina fi jannatin wa nahar fi maq'adi sidqin 'inda malikin muqtadir. This idea of 'inda malik, with the one that Fatima al-Zahra has a level of ma'rifa and understanding, that she sees him and she wants to be with him and she wants to be by him and she wants to be 'inda malikin muqtadir. She has gotten close to Allah. Her thought process is that we see Fatima al-Zahra as a manifestation, and as the hadith have correctly, and we need to understand this, as one of the asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's more tangible and understandable to us. We want him, but we see Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha. We want to get closer. She is getting close to Allah. If you want to get closer, you have to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to want taqarrub ila Allah. You need to become fi maq'ad sidqin 'inda malikin muqtadir. This is the only way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us the likes of Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha, her father, her husband, her children, and giving them qualities that are so lovable and telling us you need to love them. Al-mawaddata fil qurba is what the Prophet said God wants me to ask you in return for what I have done for you. And that is an emotional expression. Otherwise, this is not in return. It's part of his message. It's, in a sense, an emotional expression that will instigate those emotions in us to want to love. And that's where the love begins. towards Fatima al-Zahra, towards Amir al-Mu'mineen, towards the grandchildren of the Prophet, towards the A'imma. And then once that initial stage is reached, then because you love them, you look at them, you read about them, you hear about them, you look at what they did, you look at what they said, and you can only love them. The more you read, the more you love. The more you think over what you've heard and what you've read, you're going to love more and more and more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the Ahlul Bayt and told us to love them. So through that we can reach في مقعد الصدق عند ملك مقتدر. Through loving them and wanting to be with them, we are inclined, we get the inclination, the drive, the desire, the want to get closer to him. The only way is this. How do we do that? إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. The only way is taqwa. The only way is taqwa. If I don't have taqwa, I love Fatima al-Zahra, yes, she'll be kind to me. Yes, she will give me, she will intercede. No questions regarding that, that's definite. But there's a difference between the way a muttaqi is seen and a non-muttaqi is seen. Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, is a creation of God that reflects what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes and dislikes. Isn't that what we have been told? Rida Fatima, Rida Allah, or the reverse is mentioned. Either way is true. What Fatima al-Zahra is pleased with is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. In other words, Fatima al-Zahra, her love, her respect, her being pleased is a reflection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being pleased with a person. Well, God has told us in the Quran whom He is pleased with. So if that's the case, then you can say Fatima al-Zahra, yes, she intercedes. But who is she pleased with? Muttaqeen.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahim Kareem Azim Alim Halim Hakim Mateen شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
House of Representatives Special Committee is demanding documents and testimony from war room team involved in effort to overturn the 2020 presidential election result. The article you're about to hear has been written by journalist Hugo Lowell. The piece is titled U.S. Capitol Attack Committee Subpoenas Rudy Giuliani and Other Trump Lawyers. The U.S. Congressional Committee investigating the Capitol attack has issued a blitz of subpoenas to some of Donald Trump's top lawyers, including Rudy Giuliani, as it examines whether the former president oversaw a criminal conspiracy on 6th of January 2021. The House of Representatives panel subpoenaed four of Donald Trump's legal team on Tuesday, 18th of January. The former president's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, and his associate, Boris Epstein, as well as Sidney Powell and Jenna Ellis, who all defended Donald Trump's baseless voter fraud claims as he attempted to overturn the election result. Congressman Benny Thompson, the chairman of the Select Committee, said in a statement that the panel issued the subpoenas to the four Trump lawyers because they were in direct contact with the former president about attempts to stop the counting of electoral votes. The move by the House Select Committee amounts to another dramatic escalation in the investigation, as the orders compel Donald Trump's lawyers to produce documents and testimony suggesting the panel believes the lawyers may have acted unlawfully. In its most aggressive move, the Select Committee ordered Rudy Giuliani to testify under oath about his communications with Donald Trump and Republican members of Congress regarding strategies for delaying or overturning the election results. Benny Thompson said in the subpoena letter to Rudy Giuliani that House investigators also wanted to question him about his efforts to subvert Joe Biden's win, urging Trump to unlawfully seize voting machines and pressuring certain state legislators to decertify their results. Epstein is the former communications director for Donald Trump's 2016 inauguration, who worked alongside Rudy Giuliani in the Willard Hotel in the days immediately before 6th of January, as Donald Trump sought desperately to grant himself a second term in office. Citing a report by The Guardian about how Donald Trump pressed his lieutenants at the Willard Hotel to prevent Joe Biden's certification hours before the Capitol attack, Benny Thompson said in the subpoena letter to Epstein that the panel wanted to ask about his discussions with Donald Trump. The Guardian report revealed a direct line between the White House and the Trump War Room at the Willard Hotel, and showed that Donald Trump personally pushed to stop Joe Biden's certification, which was also the purported aim of the Capitol attack. The House Select Committee noted that Boris Epstein was also close to the former president's disinformation effort about widespread voter fraud, as he attended a Trump campaign press conference promoting lies about a stolen election. House investigators have been mulling subpoenas to Rudy Giuliani and Boris Epstein for weeks, according to a source close to the inquiry. The fact that the panel moved ahead with the orders suggests they suspect criminality that could overcome claims of attorney-client privilege. The attorney-client privilege does not operate to shield participants in a crime from an investigation into a crime, Congressman Jamie Raskin, a member of the House Select Committee, said of a subpoena to Donald Trump's lawyers in an earlier interview with The Guardian. Benny Thompson, the chairman of the House Select Committee, also suggested that its investigation into Rudy Giuliani and Boris Epstein would focus on Donald Trump's calls to the Willard Hotel, saying that the panel would scrutinize White House call detail records held by the National Archives. In the subpoena letter to Sidney Powell, who is already sanctioned by a federal judge for misconduct relating to her lawsuits challenging Joe Biden's win. Benny Thompson said the panel wanted the evidence she used to advance disinformation about the election. He said the panel was also interested in her role as an external lawyer for the Trump campaign, which saw her urge Donald Trump to seize voting machines around the country in an attempt to find evidence that foreign adversaries had hacked the machines and caused Donald Trump's defeat. Of course, no such evidence was found. In the subpoena letter to Jenna Ellis, the Select Committee said it was interested in her efforts to overturn the election results and her two memos that erroneously said then-Vice President Mike Pence could reject or delay counting electoral votes for Biden on 6th of January. The House Select Committee gave the four lawyers until the start of February to produce documents requested by its investigators and appear for depositions scheduled later in February. Rudy Giuliani, Sidney Powell, Jenna Ellis could not be reached for comment. Boris Epstein declined to comment.
Just listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Martyr Soleimani will live on forever and his enemies will disappear in history's dustbin. January 5th, 2022.
یه نفری گفته بود که شهید سلیمانی برای دشمنانش خطرناکتر از سردار سلیمانی است. درست فهمیده بود.
Someone once said that Martyr Soleimani is more dangerous for his enemies than General Soleimani. He understood correctly. This is really the case. Those who martyred Shahid Soleimani, dear martyr Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, and their comrades 2 years ago thought the case was over. The enemies thought by assassinating them everything was over. But you should look at what condition they are in today. Look at the situation of the US. They fled from Afghanistan in that way. And in Iraq, they are forced to pretend that they had intended to withdraw their forces. Of course, our Iraqi brothers should pursue this matter vigilantly. They were forced to announce that from now on, they will only play an advisory role. In other words, they are acknowledging that they will not and cannot have a military presence there anymore. You should also look at the status of the US in Yemen and Lebanon.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
جریان ضد استکباری در منطقه، جریان مقاومت در منطقه امروز از 2 سال پیش پر رونق‌تر و شادابتر و امیدوارتر داره حرکت میکنه و کار میکنه.
The anti-arrogance movement and the resistance movement in the region are moving forward in a stronger, more dynamic and more hopeful way than 2 years ago. In Syria, the enemies are faced with a dead end. The enemies in Syria have no hope for the future. These are blessings from that dear innocent blood.
از قول شهید نقل شد توی سخنرانی گفته بود که کسی که شهید زندگی کنه شهید میشه.
Shahid Soleimani was quoted as saying, he said this in one of his speeches, that a person who lives the life of a martyr will finally become one. And this is how he really lived. He truly lived the life of a martyr. I have been reading a book about some of the characteristics of this martyr. One of his old friends has written a book entitled The Soleimani I Know. Interesting stories have been written in this book. For example, he has written the grandchild of one of the martyred friends was going to be operated on. He went to the hospital and waited for the operation to finish. The mother of that child said, "Well, the operation is over, Haj Agha. You can go attend to your affairs now." He answered, "No. Your father, the grandfather of this child, went and was martyred in place of me. Now I have to wait here in place of him." Thus he waited until the child regained consciousness. He left when he was sure the child was all right. This is how he behaved with the families of the martyrs. But his behavior was different when dealing with the malicious and the corrupt. Inside the country one way and outside the country another way. For instance, in the southern part of the country, in Jeroft, Kerman, the things he did in those years were amazing. The strength he showed and the decisive, forceful moves he made were such that when he would enter an area and the enemy would become aware of his presence, his mere presence would ruin the enemy's morale.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years I've been lost. You've guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done. I wanna thank you.
voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.